If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We have been examining faith as a principle to help us understand the move from the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of God, to help us make the transition from flesh and blood to spirit. It is not a simple doctrine. People that are struggling with this, primarily because of how we've been taught for so long, that we go to God, we lay out these requests, and then we believe. And then we're supposed to have whatever we believe. And in some cases, we hold God hostage when we go out and incur tremendous debt and say, I'm going to believe God to get me out of it. That's not faith. That's called presumption. Many people suffer from having faith in faith, but not faith in God. And when you have faith in faith, you find that you're working to maintain what you have. In other words, let's say you go out and buy a house. And you buy this house because you believe God told you to buy it. And the amount of money to pay for this house on a monthly basis is way out of your income range, your range of income. And you say, I'm going to buy it in Jesus' name because he knows the end from the beginning. That's foolishness, and God is not obligated to support that. That's why he says in Proverbs, acknowledge him in all of your ways, then he directs your path. Jesus knew that you were going to lose your job before you bought the house. So you can't come to him and say, Father, I didn't know this was going to happen. He'll say, well, if you had talked to me, I would have told you not to do that. I would have told you, I cannot tell you the number of people who tell me that I should do certain things because of my position in God. There was a pastor who would go to the prison with me, and he would swing by my house to pick me up, and he would look at my house, and he would say, that's too modest for a man of God like you. You need such and such. And I said to him, I enjoy having a mortgage that I don't have to fast over. I enjoy having a mortgage that I don't have to struggle and say, oh, God, please don't let Bethel. And then what will happen is if I put myself in that position, my preaching will change because I don't want to offend people who give. But because I don't care, I can say what God tells me to say. So your money, it doesn't sustain me. And so that wisdom comes from faith. Now, I'm going to teach you something. It says Boston Celtics, NBA champions for 17 years. No other team in the history of the NBA has won more championships than the Boston Celtics. No other team, not even yours. This means that when the season starts, you expect them to win because they've been winning. For some reason, they've undergone some radical personnel changes and have not finished in that realm. But that does not stop diehard Celtic fans like your pastor from believing that every new season is an opportunity for them to win. I expect the Sixers to lose. I don't expect them to be in the championships. I buy tickets to the Sixers games to cheer for the Celtics. I sit up there and I cheer for Boston. When we get tickets for Boston, I cheer for Boston. I'm the only one up there cheering for Boston. I stand and I cheer for Boston. I only go for the hot dogs. I don't go for the Sixers. Why? Because they're going to lose. They have tremendous introductions. I talked to Pastor Martin. I said, I want that type of introduction with the fire and all the stuff. You know, I said, maybe that'll fire Bethel up and they'll like me. So he said, we're going to work on that. I'm going to be in my office and they're going to shoot off firecrackers and say, coming to you all the way from North Philadelphia at starting guard, 28 years old. But all they've ever done is win. That's all they've ever done. They've gone out to get the right talent and they win. Win. Say win. When anybody would join these teams, they expected to win because they had a history of winning. When Rocky went to the hospital to see Adrian, she gave birth to their son, and she was laying up in the hospital. She had a difficult pregnancy, a tough delivery, and slipped into a post-delivery coma. Rocky sat in there every day praying for Adrian. He wouldn't even go see his son. He was praying for Adrian. While he was there with his head on the bed praying, she reached out and began to move her fingers. He sat up. She looked down at him and said, you look tired. He said, not as much as you. She said, did you see the baby? He said, no, Adrian, I was going to wait until we could see him together, because they brought the baby in, and he said, yo, Adrian, look, I can't believe you did that. And he says, you know, Adrian, I was thinking, if you don't want me to mix up with Creed anymore, we'll find another way to get some money and take care of our lives. She laid there and said, there's only one thing I want you to do for me. And he said, what is that? She said, win. Then the music came, boom, and Mickey said, what are we waiting for? He told somebody, take this, and they started on the road to victory. You've been asking God, what do you want me to do? And he said, win. Win in your health, win in your mind, win in your life. And week after week, you allow the devil to tell you you're going to lose. And God can't help you until you want to win. Take off that Sixer jersey and put on a Celtic jersey. Put on a winner's. Stop buying Sixers paraphernalia and buy Celtics jersey. Get the numbers of winners. Get number 6 for Bill Russell, 17 for John Havlicek, 24 for Sam Jones. Don't get the numbers of losers. You hang with losers, you'll be a loser. And what is faith given to us for? To teach us how to be winners. Why? Because the concept of the kingdom of God is win. Win in every situation. So much so that Jesus crafts our winner's attitude. He crafts that attitude. It takes some time for us to undergo the matriculation from the defeated to the winner. To understand that nothing defeats us. Nothing we see or anything that has been formed. The promise of Scripture is nothing formed will defeat you. Then you must allow that to resonate in your mind. And you must say to yourself, I'm a winner in spite of my physical situation. Do you know that there are some teams that have such a reputation that other teams automatically just say, I just hope we don't lose by much. When Oklahoma City comes here, what do you think the Sixers are going to think? I just hope we don't lose by much. You'll probably be at that game with lament. Oh, he's saying we can beat them now. A man of faith. But understand, there are people who just resign themselves to losing. And unfortunately, some of you have. The doctor says, oh, the test results came back to indicate that there's a cancer gene. And let me tell you from a biological perspective that every human develops one cancer gene in their lives. If you eat right and, you know, take in a lot of broccoli and all that, that's why our parents tried to kill us with those good fruit or vegetables, because those things are high in beta carotene, and beta carotene kills
cancer cells. But because we shifted over to fast, greasy food that doesn't do us any good, we find ourselves susceptible to the runaway gene. And all a cancer gene is a gene in your body that refuses to go along with the process. It's a rebellious gene. And because we don't eat properly, we drink a lot of cow's milk, which helps that cancer gene. A lot of processed meats, you know, helps that cancer gene. A lot of fried foods helps that cancer gene. So by the time, because it's insidious, it's hiding behind all the other genes, by the time it comes to the forefront, it has become so strong that it has affected other genes because we didn't do what was necessary in the beginning. It's not necessarily genetic. It doesn't mean you have to have it because somebody in your family has it. But it does develop in all of us at least one renegade gene, just like you have at least one renegade church member who can poison the rest of the body. If the rest of us white blood cells and the rest of us corrective cells don't attack that thing and kill it in its infancy. Now, when the doctor says they diagnose one of those, the diagnosis is okay. It's the prognosis that shakes your faith. It's when they tell you this is going to happen to you because of this. God says the same thing. God says you are healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. The doctor says this is what we see and you're going to die. Whose report? Watch this now. James says in chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, that if you lack wisdom, now this is an important passage for you to tie this evidence together. What we are attempting to do is move you from circumstantial evidence, which if you have a whole lot of it, you can convict somebody. But I want to move you from circumstantial evidence to beyond a reasonable doubt, which is when the jury has to say you're guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. That's what our laws require. The DA must prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. And the way our Constitution is written, the accused doesn't even have to testify. They can sit there and eat a sandwich while the DA presents the case. The devil presents the case that you have no faith. He goes to God and says, let me bust up their life because they really don't believe. God is the judge. The judge cannot be pro the accused or the defendant. The judge cannot be pro. The judge must be in the middle. But he can't with us because we're his children. So when the devil comes and says, they have no faith, here's what God says. You're a liar. I'm going to prove that they have faith. And the devil says, how are you going to prove it? He says, by allowing you to mess with them. Because I promised them that they would not receive more than they can bear. But I never told them that they wouldn't get something to buckle the knee. I just never said it would be something that breaks the knee. So from that perspective, when the enemy comes against you, you ought to rejoice because you are not being tried. It is the trial of your faith. Not you. God is not trying you. You have peace with God, but your faith is being tried. Oh, I wish... I can't get no help. Y'all ain't like my 7:30 people. That extra hour of sleep don't do you any good. So James says, if you lack wisdom, which is, Lord, show me what to do. He said, go to God and ask. He does something that's unique. He says, you're to ask in. Do you understand that? Some of you will say, well, I ask God in faith. I ask God for a car in faith. You don't need faith for a car. A car is a car. Don't waste your faith on a car. The young lady was robbed over in France and lost a whole lot of jewelry. She's a famous person, married to another famous person. So one can only imagine how much the jewelry cost. I can guarantee you that the next time she goes somewhere, that jewelry that she wears will be Columbia Avenue jewelry. She ain't wearing her Beverly Hills jewelry anymore. She's going to wear Columbia Avenue jewelry. She's going to wear the stuff that looks like it, but it's not the real thing because her real stuff has been stolen. Are you hearing me? You see, God wants to get past your Columbia Avenue faith. That faith you've been talking about in church, telling people how you walk with God. See, here's what God says. You go to God and say, I'm believing God for a car. God doesn't let you get the car. He says, I don't want you to believe me for a car. I want you to believe me. So if I say you're to ride the bus, you ought to have joy that I told you to ride the bus because my bus is better than your car. Now, oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to show you. Listen. Woo! I didn't preach myself happy now. Listen, I'll show you how God's economy works. This is why Jesus said, seek the kingdom. You go to God and ask God to get you a car, right? Let me give you some Pentecostal euphemisms. Touch the heart of the salesman, the salesperson, so they can give me a good price. Touch the heart of the company, so maybe I can get a break. Then touch the finance company. So they'll give you see all that stuff you're doing? Instead of going to God and saying, just give me a car. Now, unbeknownst to you, there's somebody with a car that has gone to God and said, Lord, I want to give this car away, but you can't receive it because your faith is not give me a car. Your faith is help me get one. So you've limited your faith and God can't give it to you because you're looking to buy it. Lord, I'm pushing now. Watch. A scientist performs a very, very interesting experiment. They put some fleas in a jar. Then they close the jar with a lid. The fleas keep hitting the lid, trying to get out, but they keep running into the lid as they try to leave the jar. They do this for a significant amount of time. Then the scientist takes the lid off of the jar. And to his surprise, the fleas keep coming up to where the lid was, but don't leave. Because in their minds, they have been so programmed into hitting the lid that they can't get out. Are you hearing me? Even though there was no lid there, they were so programmed in mediocrity that they could not get out. We are so programmed to believe everybody else that when we hear certain things, we immediately prepare for death rather than for God to reintegrate us into the life of faith. Lord, have mercy. Just because they tell you that there's a cancer gene that has developed in your body, take the lid off and jump out of the jar. It don't mean you're going to die. It means God now has an opportunity to show off his power. James said, your faith must be single-minded. Your faith must be deliberate. Your faith must be beyond human reasoning. I call your attention to the 17 miracles of our Lord Jesus while he walked on this earth. He brings us to a startling realization. Every miracle that he worked defied the human situation. Defied it. Because it's not a miracle unless it transgresses the natural law. And some of you are in need of a miracle. But a miracle is not always God touching natural people. It is God doing it his way. James said your faith must be single-minded. Don't be double-minded. Don't say, well, Lord, I'm coming to you. Watch. Touch the doctor. Now, why does God have to touch the doctor? He is a doctor. His title is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Or better yet, in the Hebrew, it's the God that keeps you from getting sick. You don't have to go to him when you get sick. You go to him before you're sick, and he'll tell you what to eat. He'll tell you how to live. He'll even tell you to put certain people out your life that's causing your blood pressure to go up. God will tell you to throw some folk out your life that's causing you to take Prozac and Equinil and lithium. When God is finished, you'll be in a state of healing. And healing is not defined as the absence of physical disease. It is also defined as the presence of internal peace. I pray that you be in health as your soul. So why is there so much sickness? Because you're not healthy in your soul. You're not healthy in your spirit. You have mental illnesses that are causing you to have an unhealthy view of God. You're blaming God for a transitional situation. A young girl develops ovulation from 9 to about 12. She develops ovulation. It is at that point, and when she talks to other ladies, it is viewed as the curse. It is viewed as a terrible inconvenience. It is associated with pain, discomfort, and the potential of embarrassment. It is often viewed as a negative thing. But then the wise women will say, honey, there are going to be times you're glad it's there. Particularly after you've been somewhere with somebody who did something and left you something that you weren't in a position to have to deal with correctly. And when that thing happens, you go, thank you, Jesus. But watch this. It's only for a time. Might be a long time, but it's only for a time. And God will bring you to a time when you will no longer ovulate. Every situation that you go through is only for a time. While you're in this body, that man who had a six-pack when he was younger, now he has a keg because testosterone changes. It was just for a time. He keeps reaching for the six-pack, but it ain't coming back. He had long, wavy hair. Now, for some reason, the hair is no longer on the head. It's in the ears. And nobody can understand how I pulled through there, how I got there. Something went wrong. No, it's the time for you to lose it off your head and get it out of your ears. No amount of faith is going to change those God-ordained times. No amount of faith is going to change those God-ordained times. No amount of faith will change the God-ordained times. But faith says, let me master this situation so that it doesn't change me. You are going to have trials and tests and moments of frustration. You are going to be beaten. You are going to be hit by satanic powers. You are coming against principalities who are going to come against you. Like Daniel, they're going to try your faith. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going to threaten to destroy you. And God will not stop it because he knows what investment he has placed in you. And so he knows that you can take it. So I say, praise him through it. And watch him move. The God of things being done well is also the God of things being done poorly. God has not abdicated his power because you're going through and you're hurting. The initial cause of sin is independence. It is not rebellion. Rebellion comes from independence. It's you telling God, I don't have to listen. The refusal to submit leads to sin. That submission is twofold. No submission to God and no submission to your fellow man. We don't need to submit to anybody. Holy Ghost is my teacher. I don't have to do what Pastor Lambert tells me to do. God tells me. Then call God when you're in the hospital. Call God when you need counseling. James says your faith must be single. If you look in Mark's gospel, chapter 11, verse 21, I'm going to start at the 20th verse, and I want to read this out the Living Bible, just because I like the way it reads. It says, Mark 11, verse 20, says, next morning, as the disciples passed the fig tree he had cursed, they saw that it was withered from the roots. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, look, teacher, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And Jesus' reply to the disciples was, if you only have faith in God. Now, what's interesting is the King James says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. The problem with the terminology in the King James is that it bespeaks a singular act. Have faith in God situationally. Have faith in God occasionally. No. But in the Greek, the context is live a life of faith before God. Now watch what Jesus does. You must string it all together. Don't just isolate verse 22 for your own satisfaction. If Jesus is telling you to have a singular instance of faith, if Jesus is admonishing you to have a singular demonstration of faith, then his next statement would not be valid. For no one can move a mountain that only has a momentary faith. So it stands to reason that the language of the New Testament in explaining verse 22 says that Jesus is saying, live continuously in faith before God. And the zenith of your faith, the mountaintop peak experience of your faith, is the ability to speak to Mount Gerizim and command that it be moved. Since Jesus is not into hypothesis, since Jesus is not into therapies, Jesus is into realization. He paints the picture that the person who lives in continual faith can move mountains physically. Now, one may say, Jesus meant that figuratively, but I beg to differ with you, for Jesus does not play with us when he's teaching us the principles of the kingdom. Now, again, I need you to be Columbo, and let's put some evidence together. Are you with me? Woo! I'm trying to calm down Jesus. I know, but I got to give it to him. Okay. All right. That kingdom works with a supernatural ability to reveal to you the heart, mind, and soul of God. It started way back with the first man, Adam. Adam was in the garden. He was the last component of God's creation. The woman was not the last component of God's creation. The woman was the extension, the first extension of God's creation. So you can be as modern as you want, a woman. You still came from man. And don't be writing me no emails telling me I'm a sexist. I am not a sexist. I believe you're sweet, you're kind, you're soft, you're feminine, you're godly. And though the man may be the head, you're the neck. and turn that head wherever you want it to go if you're smart. You don't have to stand up to him. You heard what I say. No, you walk over and say, baby, did you hear me? And he go, what is it, honey? What is it, sugar? What do you need? What my baby need? You know how to do that. No man responds, no head responds well to a stiff neck. You sit up in church like this. People say, what's wrong? My neck a little stiff. You come to church like this. What's wrong? My neck a little stiff. How come you haven't praised God in a month of Sundays? Because I got a stiff neck. And here's what God did. So you ought to rejoice that you came from somebody. You hear me, ladies? And God took you from his rib. That means he's supposed to protect you and supply and take care of you. Lord, have mercy. You wasting too much time trying to take care of yourself. No, get smart. Get up under his arm. Baby, put your arm around me. Lord, take care of me, honey. Take care of me. You come through the house with the groceries. Just put them on the floor. Honey, you have to put those up. They too heavy for me. Don't be picking up no 25-pound of rock salt and throwing it over your shoulder. No, you let them deliver and say, baby, you got to pick that up because mommy can't be picking up that stuff. I don't want to strain nothing before I see you later. Watch him go crazy because man is made in the image of God. So when you come to God and say, I can't carry this burden, I need you to carry it. God said, that's all right. That's up. Let me handle that burden. Woo! Yes. And especially us African Americans, our women are tough. Mike Tyson's in a dress. You listen to our aunts and grandparents talk. They sit down and teach them young girls lessons on how to emasculate a man. Child, if he come in the house a certain way, cut him. Always keep something under the pillow. Everything is a weapon. Spray the hairspray in his eyes. Just don't you never. And you grow up like that in Christ, then wonder why singleness is your option. Don't buy a man a pair of shoes because he's going to put them on and walk out your house. Well, he also might put them on and take you to the restaurant. It depends on what kind of shoes and how you give them to him. If you throw them at him, he going to walk out the house. But if you say, baby, I bought you some Gucci's. He come on here. Let's go to La Familia so I can show off my Gucci's and my woman. I bet the people that are looking at us on the streaming are wondering, that boy has lost his mind. I don't care. You ought not be home looking at streaming. You ought to be here in church. That's for folk that don't belong to us. I know you're sitting at home. I know it. I know you're sitting at home. I'm going to put you on blast. I know what you're doing. But you're behind in church. I am. Watch this. Jesus never tells you to do something that you cannot do, nor does he put something in a metaphor that he means naturally. Do you understand? Your faith, when God made that man, here's what God did. He brought every animal over to Adam, the Bible says, and said, name it. And then the scripture says God didn't change a name. Adam looked and said, you're an elephant. He looked and said, you're a tiger, you're a lion. He named everything. You're a mosquito. You're a cockroach. You're going to make billions of dollars after you build someplace down in Orlando, Florida, and Anaheim, California, and Paris, France, and Hong Kong, China. People might run from you, but those who know are going to run to you. I'm calling you a mouse. And to give you specific designation, you are Mickey the Mouse. And I believe I'm going to buy stock in your company. because there's going to be something come out of you. But he made every animal. He gave everyone. He made them all have distinction. And God never changed. Do you understand? Listen carefully. God told Adam to name them. And Adam lived so close to God, he called them what God would have called them. So God didn't have to change them. A principle of the kingdom is that you can live in a relationship with God that you don't have to ask for two-thirds of the stuff you're asking for. You find out what God is doing, and thereby you know the will of God. When you ask, sometimes it's representative of you not knowing the will of God. But when you find out what God is doing, you don't have to ask, you just join it. Ah, glory. I wish I had somebody. You go down the Broad Street subway and you walk down the steps and you stand there and you see the train coming and you're going to Broad and Chestnut and you see the train that just stops at Erie. Why would you get on that train? It's not going where you want to go. The sign on the front of the train that's highlighted tells you where the train is going. Once you come into the kingdom, that's why Jesus said, now seek first, find out how it works. Many of us came to Christ, we got saved, we were born again, but we didn't know where God was going. And that's why we're shocked when we go through a trial or we hit a rough patch. Because in our mind, our spiritual socialization was that God was going to isolate you from trouble. But when you read the Bible, God does not isolate us from trouble. He puts us in situations where we can overcome the problem. Children of Israel in bondage 400 years. God finally brings them out. Where does he take them? To the Red Sea. Why? So he can show them, I got power over the sea. But he does not deal with the sea directly. When Moses cries, he said, what's in your hand? Saints of God, you go to the Lord and ask him to help you. He says, no, what do you bring to the table? Now, this is for the more advanced thinking Christian. Those of you that are with me and Elder Dave Cooper. This is not for the mamby-pamby bougie Christian. This is for people like me and Dave. I come to the Monopoly table with money in my pocket. I have already absconded some of the Monopoly money before the people even sit down. Now, you call it cheating, but the motto of the Marine Corps recon is that we always overcome because we adapt. Are you hearing me? That means that we assess the situation before we get there, look at the possibility, and arm ourselves to win. I don't lose at Monopoly. Because I have money that you don't know of. Just like God. God has deliverance that you don't know of because you won't put yourself in a position to watch him pull a rabbit out of his hat. Because your faith is limited to your right now. But real faith stretches beyond your right now into the realm of the possibility. And God then begins to direct your faith towards what's coming, not what is. Somebody better hear me today because I'm preaching. So God says to Moses, what's in your hand? Moses said, nothing but this stick. He said, but boy, I gave you that stick. He said, stretch it out. What's in your hand? Ask your neighbor, what's in your hand? Now tell them what's in your hand. If there ain't nothing there, tell them, ain't nothing in my hand. Now let me tell you how to get something in your hand. This is how you get something in your hand. You go to God. You strip yourself of who you are. You lay before him and tell him to use you for his glory. You say to God, God, I'm nothing without you. You say, God, give me the tools to accomplish what you called me to accomplish. Then he's going to put something in your hand. And then when you run into a Red Sea, stretch out your hand. It's not you doing it. It's the power that's in your hand. When Jesus suggests that we can speak to the mountain, he is obviously saying that we need to have something in our hands to move that mountain. You don't move it by thoughts. You don't go there and no. Then secondly, you need patience. After you speak to a situation, you've got to wait on God for him to do it. You don't lose faith. Moses stretched forth his rod, but the Bible said it took God all night to open the water. Now, the Ten Commandments movie, it took about 30 seconds. That's because it was a movie that couldn't run any longer than it ran. But in your life, it might take God 29 years. We are coming up on the 30th year of operation for Bethel Deliverance International Church. Next year, we will celebrate 30 years of God's grace, his goodness, and his provision. During our journey, starting in suite number 3 in 2923 West Cheltenham Avenue, then the purchasing of every other suite until the building became ours, and then expanding that vision to 2925, then expanding that vision to 2901 and 28, whatever it is, then expanding that vision to the old Roy Rogers restaurant that is now the Lights of the World daycare, then expanding that vision to the corner lot where there used to be a photography studio whose owners were named Lambert. Then buying all of that property, and then the travel agent was the next to the last place to get because we believed God. And then the last place was the doctor's office. And so you would look at the map and see Bethel, Bethel, Dr. Clayton, Bethel, 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 and Bethel. Amen. Now, I said this morning to the 730 people. I said in the book of Joshua, as they were preparing to take the city of Jericho, Joshua said, I'm giving you some news. He said, but don't say anything until I tell you to. So I'm telling all of you right now, don't say anything till I tell you to. I don't need you yelling, screaming, and acting like you're praising God. Just listen to the fall of the walls of Jericho. I want you to understand that asking in faith does not mean immediate response. For God has to try us to see if we will wait on him.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10216P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The Bethel Deliverance app is now available to download for free at Apple Store and Google Play. You can tune into Sunday services through live stream, view video sermons on demand, listen to audio messages through podcasts, send prayer requests, communicate through social media, and you can contribute to the ministry simply by using today's technology. Get access to all of Bethel's media outlets and church events right at your fingertips. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download Bethel Deliverance to get connected today.